This little book, it's really a letter, but it's called a book, has three main characters in it. It's first of all Paul himself, the writer. He tells us that he's an old man at the time he's writing this. He describes himself as Paul the aged. Philemon, whose name is at the head of the letter, is the recipient of it. He's some man. He's a man who is a very close friend of Paul's. He resides in Colossae, quite some distance away from Rome, where Paul is imprisoned. He was converted through the Apostle Paul. You can find all of this in this particular passage, this particular book. He was a close friend. He was converted through Paul. He was very active in God's work, and a church met in his house. You will remember, of course, the church is not the building. The building is only the house that accommodates the church of Jesus Christ. If we had no building, no building at all, and we were meeting outside tonight, it would still be the church. While it's called the church, the building is just the house for the church to meet. And in Bible days, they hadn't got buildings like this. They were a persecuted people, and they just didn't have church buildings, so they met in people's houses. This man had been a great encouragement to Paul and to the rest of the believers. And he was a man who could really pray with power. Paul says, away down near the end of the chapter, he says, I trust that through your prayers that I'll be delivered unto you. So prepare me some lodgings. I'm expecting to get out in the not very distant future. But then there's another character in this book, and his name is Onesimus. He was a slave of Philemon's, but he ran away. And somehow he made contact with the Apostle Paul. He got wonderfully converted, and we're going to see that in a few minutes. And now Paul is becoming an advocate for him. He says, Philemon, he has proved himself. And if I had the opportunity, I would keep him here with me. Because I know that if you were here, that you'd be doing your best to look after me. But he's doing it. But then, he's not my property. He's yours. And I'm sending him back. And I'm asking you to receive him, to take him back again. That's where Paul gets to in verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now it's very interesting to notice here that while this is the burden of Paul's writing, it took him a considerable time to get that length because he was commending Philemon. A wee lesson here for us. Somebody once called it the art of connecting. That is, if you want people to do things for you, you need to be kind to them. You need to pay them compliments, not to fawn them, but just to use a bit of common sense. This was a big thing with the Apostle Paul. He wanted this young fellow to turn. Philemon, for his part, would not have had a very high opinion of Onesimus. But Paul says, if you get to know him, as I've got to know him, and if you get to know what has happened to him, as I know what has happened to him, you'll have the same view as me. So, if we're looking for something to people to do something for us, let's not be brash or uncouth or demanding. Let's learn from Paul here. But that's not the lesson for tonight. The subject for tonight is this man Onesimus and the new beginning that he made. Some years ago here in our Wednesday night services, we did a series of studies looking at people and individuals and churches in the Bible that all made a new start. They basically were God's people. But we are looking tonight at a young man who was not a child of God until this wonderful situation developed when he became a Christian. And I want us to look at this for a while tonight in the gospel. I want you to notice three things about this runaway slave, this man Onesimus. First of all, the dereliction he manifested. It's all here for us in the book. Notice verse 11. Paul's writing to Philemon and he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Now, he must have been absolutely useless if he was a slave. You expect profit from a slave. And by the way, slavery was in existence in Bible days. Paul says he was no use to you, Philemon. I know that. Notice verse 15. He says, perhaps he therefore departed for a season. In other words, he absconded. He ran away. He bailed out. He fled his master. And then something else happened in verse 18. Paul says, if he hath wronged thee, and that's more a fact than an inference or a supposition. He says, if he hath wronged thee, or owed thee aught. In other words, it looks like he offended his master, he hurt him, and he stole from him. So his character was not the flavor of the month, or one to be savored by any right-thinking people. In other words, a total failure and a disappointment to Philemon. I wonder, is there somebody like that in this church tonight? You have been running away from circumstances. Maybe you've shown instability in your work, in your home, in school, in the family, and you're on the run from God, and somehow or another you've come into God's house tonight. That's a tremendous thing. It may well be that God in his providential workings has brought you here as he brought Onesimus into contact with Paul. While that may be specific, and it may not be the case that somebody is in this room like that, yet I am confident that all of us, for that matter, come into this category, that we have been on the run from God at some time in our lives. The Bible tells us that God said, I have brought up children and nourished them, but they have rebelled against me. He says, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but my people doth not know, my people doth not consider. Listen to these words in Isaiah 63, where God says, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. My dear friend, all of us in our natural estate as sinners have run from God. The Bible says, Paul's describing us in Romans 3. He says, we're altogether unprofitable. We have gone out of the road. Our backs are toward God and our faces are toward hell. You remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says, the voice of the Lord God came walking in the cool of the day and called Adam, where art thou? And Adam and Eve hid themselves. And then Adam says, I heard thy voice and was afraid. Even in those earliest of days, man was on the run from God. But the great thing is that you have come to the house of God tonight, and it's quite possible you can have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and be marvelously changed and begin again. The dereliction, he manifested. But notice secondly, the transformation he underwent. What a change came into this young man's life. It was a new beginning for him. And so may you have tonight. Now notice several things about it. First of all, how this transformation was evidenced. What proof of this do we see in Philemon? That this man was changed. Well, notice first of all, this transformation was evidenced in the relationship Paul had with him. Notice verse 10. I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul says, this young fellow, Philemon, has become a son of mine. What do you mean by that? He means that Philemon, or that Onesimus, has experienced a new birth. That's what Paul says. I have begotten him in my bonds. Through me, he has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. He's a new creature. And that is why I'm advocating that you take him back again. He's in this great relationship with him. Notice again, verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, specially to me. He's not only my son, but he's my brother. That means we're both in the same family of God. He's born again, I'm born again, you're born again, and we're all heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What a change has taken place in this young man's life. It's been evidenced by the relationship Paul had with him. But it's evidenced another way, in the request that Paul is making for him. Notice verse 10. And try to picture yourself as Philemon, seeing this runaway standing before him now. He's come back. Onesimus has brought the letter. And Onesimus has handed the letter to Philemon. And Philemon is opening it. And he reads these words in verse 10. I beseech thee. So he's saying, Paul's really in earnest about this fellow. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He's pleading for this guy. What has happened to this fellow that the great apostle Paul would talk to me about pleading for him to bring him back again? And so Philemon reads on. Verse 12. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. Notice again verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him. And we are told here that Paul is earnest and passionate about this young man being given a fresh start with his master Philemon. After all, God has been good to him. God has given him the new birth. God has changed his life, turned him right round. Philemon, you do the same as a child of God. What a change must have come in this young man's life. And it's evidenced by the relationship that Paul had with him and in the request that Paul's making for him. But there's another consideration. It's not only evidenced by the relationship and the request, but notice the regard that Paul had for him. Verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He says, Philemon, I regard him so highly that if he were not your property, I would have kept him here in Rome, because he's been looking after me well. He's a great lad. What a regard for him. But as Philemon reads this letter, he comes to verse 17, and he reads that Paul says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. And Philemon's saying, what is there about this young fellow, Onesimus, that my friend Paul says that I've got to receive him as if it was Paul himself? I'm telling you, Paul highly regarded this young fellow because of the utter transformation that came into his life. But Philemon reads on, verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Verse 19, I will repay it. And Philemon's thinking, there's something about this fella that the Apostle Paul, writing from jail in Rome, says all these things about him, that he would have desired to hold on to him. He's a son in the faith now. He wants me to take him back. Paul says, treat him as if you were treating me, if I were there. And if he owes you anything, I'll pay it myself. I'll be security for you. I'll be his surety. I'm advocating for him. I'm pleading for him. What a change. How it was evidenced. And let me stop just for a moment and say that such can be the change in your life when you become a Christian, that other Christian people will heartily recommend you, no matter what you've done in the past, provided the Lord gives you that new birth experience and that great change tonight. How it was evidenced. But notice, secondly, how this great change was experienced. How did it come about? Well, we are told very plainly in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, first of all, Paul and Onesimus came in contact with each other. How else can you explain that he's been born again through me here and me a prisoner? Now, Spurgeon uses his imagination in a sanctified sense. He says, how did this happen? Nobody knows, but it could have. Paul is in prison, and Onesimus has absconded. He's lying in a doorway, maybe at one of the temples in Rome. And this woman comes up to him. And this woman says, I want to talk to you about Jesus. And he says, well, I don't want to hear. My master had a friend who talked about Jesus. And the woman said, who was your master? And who was your master's friend? And Philemon and Onesimus told him. She says, why, I'm going to hear Paul preach now. Why don't you come with me? And Onesimus says, is he in Rome? Yes, he's in prison. And so she brings this young man in, because in part of Paul's imprisonment, he had a bit of free movement around his quarters. Not all the time. Certainly not his last imprisonment, but in some of the imprisonments. And so this woman was going to hear him preach, Spurgeon imagines. And the young fella was brought into contact with Paul. They had a lot to talk about. They both knew Philemon. And Paul began to preach the gospel of Christ to him. And this young man got wonderfully saved and converted. Spurgeon says it might have happened that way. On the other hand, it might just have happened that Onesimus knew that Paul was in Rome, knew that he was in jail, and went around the prisons looking for him. And when he found out what prison he was in, he got in to see him. And Paul took him under his wing, and Paul explained the gospel to him. We just don't know how it happened, but it happened. Somehow, this young man got in touch with Paul. And once that happened, Paul began to talk to him about the Lord Jesus, telling him that no matter what he had done, the Lord would forgive him for all the wrong, preached the message of the cross, told him there was forgiveness for every sin. There was redemption. There was a whole change of nature, a new birth, a new nature. If he would only trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he could be saved and become a great man and be a blessing to his master again. And you know, that young man responded to that. He trusted Christ. And one day Paul heard that the young man had thrown in his lot with the Lord Jesus. And Paul was able to write, I have begotten him in my bonds. Has providence brought you in here tonight? Maybe you had no intention of coming to church here tonight, but you've come. Do you think it's by accident? Maybe you're on the run from God, as we've already said. God is challenging you now with his word. I believe with all my heart, things like that can happen. And they don't surprise me any. Let me tell you a story. Just came across it a week or two ago. This younger minister was speaking to an older minister. And the older minister was fumbling in his waistcoat pocket. And he tried to get something out of his pocket. And the young minister said, I don't know what he was at. But at length he pulled out what appeared to be a letter. In tatters it was. And the old man said to the younger man, he said, this is from my boy, my son, who I thought would be the stay of my life in my old age, but he wanted to have nothing to do with his father's God, or religion, or church. And one day he came in and he said he had booked his passage for America, and he was departing from London docks on such and such a day. Few days after that he told me about it. I was heartbroken, but there was nothing I could do. But he said, I didn't know that God was working. And he said, I got a letter from him a few years later. And this is it that you're reading now. And the younger minister was reading the letter, and he read about the contrition and the confession and the broken-hearted condition of that wayward son. And the great thing was that he said, "Father, I'm deeply sorry for all the hurt I've caused you. I want to tell you, upon coming here, not too long after I arrived, I got wonderfully converted, and I have been serving the Lord, and I want to let you know." The old man took the letter back from the younger man and put it back in his waistcoat, and he said, "Sir, there's a story behind that." He said, "This is why I wanted to seek you out and tell you. The time that he was due to depart from London docks, the ship was delayed for a day. And he said, I'm not going to stay around here." He said, "I've heard so much about church, this church in London, this tabernacle in London." And he says, "I'll go and hear the preacher before I go to America the next day." He said he went in to the service that Sunday, and the minister, that's the younger minister that was talking to the older minister, he said that the minister said, "There may be some young fella on the run from God and his family in this room tonight. If there is, God can be gracious to you and change your life." And the old minister said, "My son heard you preach that night, and he could never get those words out of his mind that you said. And it was through that that he eventually came to the Lord." He says, "Sir, I just want to tell you, I love you with all my heart, because God has used you to bring my boy to himself." Providential workings, perhaps even here tonight. But in order for it to happen, you must get to the Lord Jesus. You must have contact with him. You must trust him as your Savior. And if you do, he'll forgive your past. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you the new birth experience. And he'll save your soul and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just one last thing, and we'll be brief. We have seen the dereliction that he manifested, an unsavory character. We have seen the transformation that he underwent. What a change. Notice lastly, the commendation he enjoyed. Paul's singing his praises, if I may use that terminology. Notice verse 11. He says, "Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. This boy is a good in Philemon, very profitable." In other words, he had something to contribute to his master that was of worth, to make up for all that he lost by him. And tonight, if you would only get saved, you can be of great worth to God and to God's work. You've no idea how mightily you can be used. You can become an encouragement to those to whom you were formerly a disappointment. He had a new relationship with Philemon. God can use you again. Notice verse 11, "Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." The Apostle Paul was a bad man before he got converted too. Religiously, a religious man, not immoral. Religious, but a hater of Christians. This is what he said whenever he got converted from Galatians. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." When they heard of the change in Paul's life, the end of Galatians chapter 1, that's the reference. You can be of worth to the cause of God tonight. A new relationship with Philemon. A new kinship with Philemon. Verse 16. "A brother beloved." Meaning warmth and intimacy and affection. Physically in the flesh. Spiritually in the Lord. New kinship. A new relationship. You can be a blessing to multitudes if you'll experience this great change tonight. I'll close with this, ladies and gentlemen, and young people. I come back to it because it's core and central. The only way it can happen is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Not church going, not turning over a new leaf. Things all right in their place, but not with regard to salvation. You need a thorough change from the inside out. Listen to what the apostle wrote to another group of people. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I urge you, appeal to you, plead with you. Will you trust Christ as your Savior tonight? Will you go to him? Will you confess your sins to him? Ask him to have mercy upon you, to give you a fresh start, new life, and all the blessing and the joy that you'll experience in your own life, and what a blessing you'll be to others.